A pair of global energy giants have planned their exits from Myanmar. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. French and American heavyweights Total Energy and Chevron said today they're withdrawing from the Southeast Asian nation as human rights there deteriorate following a coup nearly a year ago. Both companies are partners in the Yadana Project, a joint venture with several firms that provides electricity to almost half the population of Myanmar's largest city, Yangon, and Thailand. Total and Chevron are the latest Western companies to make such moves after the military seized control from the Myanmar's elected leader in February. A number of countries, including the U.S., have enacted sanctions against the military and its leaders, which have been cracking down on dissent. But why are these energy companies taking action now? Vicky Bowman, director of the Myanmar Center for Responsible Business, spoke to us from inside the country.
There's not been a clear trajectory out of the current situation. So I think what has happened for Total over the last year is that the pressure from campaigners has continued to grow. And what their board has probably said to themselves is that given that this is a field of gas with about 3 years left to go, it has normally been about, I think, 1% of Total's balance sheet. But as it's turning into 99% of their headache, I imagine that what's happened is that the Total board has just said, let's give up and sell it. Chevron's exit is a consequence of the Total decision because it's a sleeping shareholder in the same project. I'm expecting that given that the majority of gas that comes out of the Yadana project is sold to Thailand and it's an extremely important part of their energy supply, that the Thai company, which is anyway a partner in the project, will step in and buy the existing share and become the operator. But the main consequence will be that we will lose what was the most responsible operator within Myanmar's oil and gas sector.
And what is the knock-on effect of that for the people in, you know, the largest city that depend on this electricity generation?
So I am not expecting the lights to go off any more than they already are, not this year. However, there is a longer-term effect, not just from Total's withdrawal, but from the pausing and probably withdrawal of many of the other companies that were exploring for new resources of gas, because that gas was meant to be coming on stream in the late 2020s to replace the existing fields like Yadana, which were anyway going to be exhausted. And we now have no prospect of future gas reserves coming into play in Myanmar. And so that's going to have a significant knock-on effect on electricity. Possibly it will mean that the military regime turns to coal, or possibly it will mean that they turn to some of the potentially very destructive large hydropower projects that they favored when they were last in power.
Do you think this could lead to more exits or similar moves from other companies currently operating in Myanmar?
So over the last few months, we've seen some companies continue to operate. We've seen some companies depart for commercial reasons. So, for example, Metro supermarkets, which had come in to cater to the hotel industry, to the wealthy expatriates, they just couldn't see a case for their business model. They exited for commercial reasons. Telenor, the Norwegian telecoms company, is leaving because the surveillance requirements being placed on it by the Myanmar government are such that that would put them in breach of European and Norwegian law. But there will be other companies who make the commitment to stay or continue to source. What we encourage all companies to do is to do due diligence on their current operations, but also what would be the potential negative impacts of leaving.
Vicky Bowman, the director of the Myanmar Center for Responsible Business. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you very much.
Well, on this latest news, shares of Chevron are down about 1% ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street. Total Energies is off 0.7% here in London. Checking some other numbers now. It's a sea of red across European stock markets today. Benchmarks here in London, Paris, Frankfurt, and Milan are down in the 0.7% to 1.4% range. That comes amid a backdrop of rising geopolitical tensions this week and uncertainty over the future of global monetary policy. Meanwhile, over in Asia, shares of Toyota ended down nearly 2.5% today in Tokyo. That's after the carmaker said Japanese customers will have to wait up to 4 years for delivery of the brand's Land Cruiser SUV. The BBC's Karishma Vaswani has more on that.
Toyota is cutting production because of a wave of coronavirus infections in Japan. Operations at as many as 11 plants have been affected. The latest disruption comes amid a shortage of semiconductors that's been already affecting the automaker's output. Earlier this week, Toyota said it expects to fall short of its goal of 9 million vehicles for the year. The company's business year ends on March the 31st.
That's Karishma Vaswani reporting there. Is the world ready to eat bugs? There are, of course, parts of the globe where insects are more commonly found on a plate. But what about more widespread adoption? Research indicates insects as a sort of protein can have a less significant impact on the environment than other animal protein like red meat. The BBC's Claire Williamson has been exploring that story.
Malina Sigagirsdottir spent a year in Tanzania eating bugs regularly, and she felt that it was having a positive impact on her health. But research indicates that the way insects look can put people off eating them. So on returning to her native Denmark, she set up a company called Hey Planet, which started selling bug-based snacks using powdered insects, and then researched a way of turning powdered buffalo beetle protein into what the firm calls the world's first sustainable meat.
There's an issue when we look at our food production and our diet. It's not that sustainable. And we just want to be part of the solution, cutting down on the red meat and trying to offer other options that might function like red meat in our diet. And we think we made a really good product that can help solve that issue.
Professor Matan Shalomi, an entomologist at the National Taiwan University, has been studying insects since childhood. He explains how efficient and sustainable they are as a food source.
The big benefit for insects is that they are cold-blooded. Whatever food you give them, they're not burning any calories to stay warm the way we do, the way birds do, the way mammals do. Everything they eat just gets used to make more meat. So they are very efficient. They do not need a lot of food or a lot of feed to become, you know, full-sized creatures. They don't need a lot of water. They don't need a lot of space.
But beyond feeding humans, there are also hopes for bugs as a more sustainable source of nutrition for other creatures in the food chain. EntoCycle is a London-based company turning black soldierfly larvae into animal feed. Its founder is Kieran Whittaker.
All roads lead to Scotland because we've got the salmon industry, and salmon was the first market regulatory approval, as well as pets. And you're now seeing poultry and pig happening this year, and humans likely next year as well. We have more than 150% of our product output already kind of accounted for, but that's going to different market sectors.
The market for insects is still tiny, but growing fast. Barclays Bank estimates that the insect protein market could be worth up to $8 billion by 2030, though it remains to be seen whether by then Western consumers will have been converted to a diet that includes insects. I'm the BBC's Claire Williamson for Marketplace.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.